This deep dive is produced by Neckhoff Radio. All right, so get ready to dive into the life of Mobutu Sese Seko.
Mobutu.
The man who ruled Zaire, now the Democratic Republic of Congo, for over 30 years.
Wow.
We're going to be using excerpts from his Wikipedia page as our guide for this deep dive. And this story, it's just full of twists and turns.
Yeah, Mobutu's life is fascinating. It really is. I mean, you think about it, this mischievous schoolboy turned military leader, turned dictator.
With the leopard skin hat?
Oh, yeah, with the leopard skin hat. That's his signature look. You know, he really reshaped a nation. I mean, it's a story that speaks to the unpredictable nature of power, especially during such a crazy time, like a tumultuous period in African history.
Totally. And to think it all started with a prank. You know,
a prank.
It seems that young Joseph Désiré Mobutu, that was his name back then, he got himself into some trouble as a student. And instead of jail time, he was sent to serve 7 years in the force public.
Yeah.
That was the colonial army.
The colonial army. So essentially punished by being put into the army.
Exactly. Yeah. Who would thought that this punishment would actually pave the way for his future?
Well, it's funny how life works out sometimes, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, you would think that that would break a person.
Right.
But instead, the army, what it did, it gave him discipline. It gave him structure.
Right.
And during those 7 years, Mobutu, you know, he didn't just sit around. He immersed himself in books and newspapers.
He did.
Yeah. He really cultivated this passion for politics and journalism.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he even started writing for a magazine under a pseudonym.
Really?
Like a side hustle. I mean, all those experiences, they really shaped his understanding of power and influence.
Okay. So he's honing his skills in the army.
Right.
He's writing for a magazine. I mean, clearly there's some ambition brewing here. But how did he go from army recruit to, you know, this prominent figure in the Congolese government?
Well, you know, after his time in the army was up, he went full time into journalism. And it was during this time that he met Patrice Lumumba.
Oh, okay.
Who, of course, was a key figure in the Congolese independence movement.
Yeah, for sure.
Mobutu joined Lumumba's party and even became his personal aide.
Wait, but wasn't Lumumba the democratically elected prime minister who was ousted?
Yes.
And then tragically executed?
That's right. And Mobutu's involvement in all of this during this Congo crisis, it's a whole story in itself.
Yeah, I mean, things must have been incredibly chaotic at that time.
Oh, absolutely.
Can you kind of paint a picture of what was happening?
So the Congo crisis, it was just this whirlwind of turmoil and power struggles. Shortly after Congo gained independence from Belgium in 1960, the force public, that same army that Mobutu had been a part of, mutinied.
Wow.
And it just plunged the nation into chaos. It was a mess. And at this point, Mobutu had already risen to the position of chief of staff.
Wait, how did that happen? I mean, he went from journalism.
I know, it's crazy.
Back to the army and climbed the ranks that quickly.
Yeah, it was a really rapid ascent, which has led some people to speculate that maybe he was recruited by Belgian intelligence.
Really?
Yeah, during his journalism days. It's hard to say for sure, but as chief of staff, Mobutu was right in the middle of this volatile situation.
Right.
With these secessionist movements gaining traction and the Cold War tensions escalating, Congo was really on the verge of collapse.
So Lumumba, he turned to the Soviet Union for support.
He did.
Yeah.
You know, he was facing opposition from within the country, outside the country, and he saw the Soviets as a potential ally.
Right.
But of course, this move alarmed the West because they saw it as a potential communist foothold in Africa.
So the Cold War is heating up.
Exactly.
And Mobutu, he senses this shift in the political winds and sides with the West.
That's exactly what happened. He was facing a lot of pressure from the West, from his own officers, even from President Kasavubu, who was in a power struggle with Lumumba. And so Mobutu orchestrated a coup.
Wow. So Mobutu, once a close ally of Lumumba, played a direct role in his downfall.
He did.
I mean, that just reveals one of the many contradictions.
It really does.
That define Mobutu's legacy.
Yeah.
It really shows you how political alliances, especially in times of crisis, can shift so dramatically.
Absolutely.
So with Lumumba out of the picture, Mobutu seizes this opportunity to consolidate his power. But how did he go from military leader to, you know, self-proclaimed president for life of Zaire?
Well, first of all, he was not afraid to use force to maintain control.
Okay.
You know, in those early years, public executions were a tactic he used to silence any opposition.
That's a dark chapter for sure.
Very dark, brutal period. But as his rule progressed, he started to shift to a more cunning approach.
Okay.
He really mastered the art of patronage, you know, using bribery, strategic cabinet shuffles to keep his rivals in check.
So he really was a master manipulator.
Oh, absolutely. He was known for this kind of musical chairs approach to government positions.
Okay.
You know, constantly rotating people so that nobody could get too much power.
Clever.
Very.
But incredibly manipulative.
Yes. He understood how power worked and how to use it for his own gain.
Yeah.
But, you know, it wasn't just about brute force and manipulation.
Okay.
Mobutu also launched what he called his authenticity campaign.
Right.
A calculated move to reshape the nation's identity.
And this is where he renames the country Zaire.
That's right.
And changes his own name to Mobutu Sese Seko.
Yes. He encouraged people to abandon their European names, embrace African ones, even manned Western clothing in favor of the Abacost.
Wow.
You know, this campaign, it was all about erasing those remnants of colonial influence.
Yeah.
Creating this distinctly Zairean identity.
So he's rewriting history, he's reshaping culture. Mm-hmm. But was this genuine or was it just another power play?
That is the question, isn't it? I mean, some people saw it as a genuine effort to reclaim African heritage.
Right.
To instill a sense of national pride.
Yeah.
Others saw it as just a cynical ploy to distract from his authoritarianism and growing corruption.
Hard to say.
It's hard to know what his true motivations were.
Yeah.
But one thing's clear, Mobutu was a master of image and propaganda.
Yeah. I mean, he cultivated this larger-than-life persona.
Oh, absolutely.
With the leopard skin hat, the walking stick, these grandiose titles.
Father of the nation, guide of the revolution.
Exactly.
His image was everywhere.
Yeah.
He controlled the media. I mean, he was creating a cult of personality, and for a while, it was really effective.
All this while amassing a massive personal fortune.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we've all heard the stories about the extravagant palace.
Right.
The Versailles of the jungle.
Yeah, the Versailles of the jungle. And then the Concorde flights to Paris for shopping sprees.
Yeah.
It's almost unbelievable.
It's amazing the contrast between his lifestyle and the economic hardship faced by most Zairians.
Mm-hmm.
It's just staggering. I mean, he presided over a kleptocracy.
He did.
Where state resources were just systematically plundered.
Yeah.
For personal gain. It's wild. I mean, he had palaces.
Multiple palaces.
Luxury cars, a yacht.
And the country's infrastructure was just falling apart.
Yeah.
Public services were collapsing.
It's hard to fathom such a level of disparity.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I don't understand. He clung to power for over 30 years.
I know.
How did he pull that off?
Well, that's where the Cold War context comes in.
Okay.
Mobutu, he was really smart. He positioned himself as the staunch anti-communist.
Right.
And that made him a really valuable asset to the West.
So they basically looked the other way.
Yeah, pretty much.
While he did all this.
They did. He received substantial financial and military aid
from
the U.S., France, Belgium. They turned a blind eye.
Wow.
To his corruption, his human rights abuses.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he was seen as a bulwark against Soviet influence in Africa.
So geopolitics really trumps moral considerations.
It does. It's a stark example of that. Yeah.
Yeah. A harsh truth, but I guess it's a necessary one to acknowledge.
Yeah.
But this support couldn't last forever, could it? I mean, the world was changing. The
right.
Cold War wasn't going to last forever.
You're right. And the eventual collapse of the Soviet Union, that was a real turning point.
Okay.
With the communist threat diminished, Western powers, they started putting pressure on Mobutu to make some democratic reforms.
Yeah, Mobutu, he really wasn't one to just give up power. But things were changing. You know, the tide was turning. His regime, which had seemed so strong for so long, it was starting to crumble.
Yeah. So here's Mobutu. He's facing pressure from inside Zaire, outside Zaire, and he's dealing with his own health issues, too.
Right.
It's May 1997. The country is in chaos.
Yeah.
His options are dwindling. What happens?
Well, there were attempts at peace talks, but things were, they were really deteriorating.
Yeah.
Mobutu, he realized that this is it.
Yeah.
He chose exile, first fleeing to Togo.
Togo.
But he wasn't exactly welcomed with open arms there.
No.
He ended up finding refuge in Morocco.
Okay.
And that's where he would spend his last days.
Wow. That's a pretty dramatic fall from grace
It is.
for a man who had once held absolute power.
Yeah.
It really does highlight how fleeting power can be,
Oh, it
you
does.
know, from dictator to a man without a country.
Yeah, his exile, it really marked the end of an era. Zaire, under the leadership of Kabila and those rebel forces, it transitioned back to the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Right.
Mobutu's reign was over.
It was over. So what became of Mobutu in those final months?
Hmm.
Did he ever, you know, express any regret for what he had done?
Or did he just hold on to his past grandeur?
Well, while he was in exile in Morocco, he was dealing with prostate cancer. And he actually died there just 3 months after he left Zaire.
Really?
It's kind of an anticlimactic end
Yeah.
for a man who lived such a dramatic and tumultuous life.
It's almost as if history just moved on without him,
Yeah.
leaving him behind, you know, just a fading footnote
Yeah.
in a world that was rapidly changing.
Yeah, maybe. But even though he's gone, the legacy that he left behind, it's complicated. You know, it still sparks debate and intrigue. It
Yeah.
raises all these questions about leadership, about power, about the effects of his actions.
Well, and his legacy is complicated.
It is.
I mean, he was a brutal dictator responsible for so much suffering.
Right.
There was so much corruption under his rule.
Yeah.
But he also played this crucial role in shaping Zaire's identity.
He did.
And he was a prominent figure, not just in Africa, but on the world stage.
Right. It's a paradox. It's hard to reconcile those two things.
It is. It really is.
He was this master manipulator, this ruthless autocrat.
Yeah.
But also, sometimes, he was a charismatic leader who had the loyalty of a lot of Zarians.
Right.
It's that complexity that makes his legacy so fascinating.
Yeah.
And so hard to define.
It's hard to wrap your head around. How do we even begin to make sense of somebody who embodied such extremes?
I think you have to consider the historical context. You know,
yeah.
Congo, even before Mobutu, was a nation that was dealing with the effects of colonialism.
Right.
They were trying to find their own way. And Mobutu, he stepped into this void.
Yeah.
And for better or worse, he had a profound impact.
Yeah. I mean, he left an indelible mark.
He did.
Although a very flawed one.
Yeah.
We've talked about the political and social impact of his rule, but what about the economic impact? I mean, he inherited a country that was rich in resources.
It was.
Yet he left it in ruins.
That's where the term kleptocracy really comes into play.
Hmm.
You know, Mobutu and his cronies, they systematically drained Zaire of its wealth.
Hmm.
They built up these huge personal fortunes while the country was falling apart.
Yeah.
The infrastructure, the economy, it all crumbled.
And he nationalized industries.
He did.
Just to hand them over to his friends and family.
Exactly.
Who then exploited them for their own personal gain.
Yeah, it was just a cycle of greed and corruption.
It's hard to believe the shopping trips to Paris, on the Concorde, the lavish palace.
Right.
All while his people were struggling to survive.
It was a display of excess, of indifference.
Yeah.
It really had a devastating impact on Zaire.
It did.
By the time he was ousted, the country was crippled by debt.
Mm.
There was rampant inflation, widespread poverty.
A tragic legacy for a nation with so much potential.
Yeah, it's really sad.
Makes you wonder if he ever thought about the damage that he caused.
Mm.
Or if he was just focused on self-preservation.
It's hard to know. But I think what we can learn from his downfall is that even the most powerful leaders are vulnerable.
Mm.
His story shows us that unchecked power and corruption, they ultimately lead to ruin.
Yeah.
It's a cautionary tale that we can all learn from.
It is. So what are the main takeaways from Mobutu's rise and fall?
Mm.
What can we learn from this?
Well, I think one of the biggest lessons is that power is temporary. Even when it seems absolute, it can shift, it can disappear.
Right.
Another lesson is that corruption and greed, yeah, they might give you temporary gains, but ultimately they destroy nations.
Right.
And finally, I think Mobutu's story shows us that alliances that are based on strategic interests, not on shared values, they're not going to last.
Hmm. Powerful lessons. And ones that are relevant not just for Zaire's history,
right,
but for understanding leadership and power dynamics everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, we see similar patterns happening today.
We do.
With leaders putting their own enrichment and political games ahead of the well-being of their people.
Exactly. Mobutu's story, yeah, it happened in Zaire, but it has these universal implications.
Hmm.
It makes us think critically about leadership, about the impact of corruption,
yeah, yeah,
and about the role that the international community plays in all of this.
Right, right.
It's a story that makes you think, and hopefully it inspires some action.
It does. It's amazing to think that it all started with a schoolboy prank.
I know, right? Talk about unintended consequences.
Yeah.
Mobutu's journey, you know, from this mischievous student to dictator, it shows how unpredictable power can be.
Right.
And it highlights how the choices that we make,
yeah,
they have a lasting impact.
They do. Well, we've covered a lot in our deep dive into Mobutu Sese Seko.
We have.
From his early life to his rise to power, his reign, and then his eventual downfall in exile.
Right.
It's been quite a journey.
It has. His story really reminds us how intoxicating power can be.
Hmm.
And the destructive consequences of ambition and corruption. It's a story that we should all pay attention to.
We've explored his impact on Zaire.
Yeah.
But his story has implications that go beyond that, right?
Yeah.
How does Mobutu's rule fit into the bigger picture of African history during this period?
Well, you have to remember that Mobutu's rule, it happened during a time of huge change in Africa.
Mm.
Decolonization was happening. The Cold War was raging.
Yeah.
His rise and fall, they really provide a window into the challenges that so many newly independent African nations faced.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were navigating this really complex geopolitical landscape.
Right.
Often caught between the superpowers.
And he was really good at playing those superpowers against each other.
He was.
You know, using his anti-communist stance to get support from the West.
Right.
But also building ties with China.
For economic aid.
Yeah, it was quite a balancing act.
He was a very strategic political operator.
Capoeira.
He knew how to use his country's position and how to work the system.
Yeah.
And for a while, it worked. He held on to power.
But like we said, that kind of maneuvering can only get you so far. The world changed, the Soviet Union collapsed, and the whole global landscape shifted.
Yeah. And Mobutu, he was stuck in his old ways.
Yeah.
He became more and more isolated.
His regime, which was built on patronage, on repression, on outside support,
right,
it just couldn't adapt.
It's a reminder that even the strongest power structures are vulnerable.
Mm. So when we look back at Mobutu's story, what does it tell us about leadership?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any universal truths that we can take away from this?
Mobutu's rise and fall show us the dangers of unchecked power.
Right.
They show us how damaging corruption is. Mm-hmm. And they underscore how important accountability and transparency are,
mm-hmm,
you know, in any government.
Right.
His story also shows us that leaders who can't adapt, they're going to fail.
Yeah, that's a good point. Are there any parallels to Mobutu's story today?
Mm.
Do we see any echoes of his tactics, his legacy in other parts of the world?
That's a really interesting question. I mean, there might not be exact replicas, but there are definitely some similarities.
Mm.
You know, we see leaders who exploit their country's resources, who create personality cults, who suppress dissent.
Right.
Leaders who manipulate international relations for their own benefit.
Yeah.
Those patterns, they're still there.
It's a reminder that we don't always learn from history.
We don't.
So what's the takeaway for our listeners? What do we want them to remember after this deep dive?
I think Mobutu's story is a call to be vigilant. It's a reminder that we have to stay engaged and informed, even when things seem stable.
Yeah.
We have to hold our leaders accountable, demand transparency.
Right.
And be wary of anyone who tries to exploit our fears or divide us for their own gain.
It's a call to action.
It is.
To be critical thinkers.
Yeah.
To recognize that the choices we make, they shape our future.
That's right. History, even when it seems far away or irrelevant,
yeah,
it has a lot to teach us about the present.
Right.
Mobutu's story might have happened in Zaire, but the themes that it explores, power, corruption, the fight for freedom, for democracy, those are universal. You know, there's one intriguing thing about Mobutu,
okay,
that we haven't really talked about yet.
Okay.
Despite all his flaws, he had this real sense of showmanship.
Mm.
He understood spectacle.
Are you talking about the Rumble in the Jungle?
Exactly.
The legendary boxing match?
Yes.
Between Muhammad Ali and George Foreman?
What's the one?
Held in Kinshasa in 74.
1974. Mobutu saw this as a chance to put Zaire on the map, you know, to show it off to the world.
Mm.
And he went all out.
He did.
He even had a whole new stadium built just for the fight.
I mean, talk about going all out. It must have been a huge gamble.
It was.
Especially with the country's economic problems.
Yeah, a lot of people criticized him for it,
mm-hmm,
you know, saying that he should have been focusing on more important things.
Right.
But there's no denying that it put Zaire in the spotlight.
And for a little while, Mobutu got to enjoy all that attention.
Yeah.
Presenting himself as this modern African leader.
Right, a patron of sports.
Yeah.
Of course, it was all a facade.
Yeah.
It didn't last.
No.
But, you know, the rumble in the jungle, it's a fascinating part of Mobutu's story.
It is.
It shows how complex he was.
Yeah.
How full of contradictions.
It shows that even dictators can be drawn to spectacle.
They can.
And to global recognition.
Right. And it also shows how these sporting events can be used for political purposes to project a certain image.
Right.
Yeah. The Rumble in the Jungle is a really interesting example of how sports, politics, and personality all intersect.
Yeah. For a brief moment, Zaire, with Mobutu pulling the strings, was at the center of the world.
That's right.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground in our deep dive into the life of Mobutu Sese Seko.
You have.
From his early days as a schoolboy to his rise as a military leader, his cunning power grabs, his transformation into the self-proclaimed president for life of Zaire.
Right.
And, of course, his downfall and his exile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a journey.
It has. And his story is a powerful reminder about what happens when power goes unchecked and about the damage that corruption can do.
It's a cautionary tale.
It is.
That we can all learn from.
Absolutely.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into Mobutu's complex and troubling legacy, what's the key takeaway for our listeners? What message do we want them to leave with?
I think Mobutu's story reminds us that we have to stay engaged. We have to be informed.
Yeah.
We have to hold our leaders accountable.
Right.
Demand transparency. We have to be wary of those who try to exploit us or divide us.
It's a call to action.
It is.
To think critically.
Absolutely.
And to recognize that our choices, they have consequences.
They do. History might seem distant sometimes, but it has a lot to teach us. Mobutu's story might have taken place in Zaire.
Yeah.
But the themes, power, corruption, the fight for freedom, those are universal.
Well said. And on that note, we'll conclude our deep dive into the life and times of Mobutu Sese Seko. It's a story that reminds us how fragile nations can be and how powerful human ambition is, for better or for worse. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those deep dives going.